the 260 Dugout Podcast. Welcome to your destination for all things baseball in the Summit City. The 260 Dugout Podcast, presented by the Old Fort Baseball Company. From Little League to Major League Baseball, it's time to go inside the dugout. Here's your host, DC Hendricks.
Okay, everybody, welcome in. This is the 260 Dugout Podcast. I am your host, DC Hendricks. Special shout out to Logan Weening at the Old Fort Baseball Company. And of course, our good friends at 1380 The Fan here in Fort Wayne, Josh Williams and the staff do a great job and give us a chance to talk some Fort Wayne baseball, 260 baseball, and all things here in our backyard here in the 260. So joining us in the 260 Dugout this week, I'm very excited to catch up with someone that I recognize as one of the top baseball minds we have here in the Summit City. He's been here for a while, and he's still getting wins. It's all about the dubs. Has one of the great college programs here in Fort Wayne. We have the one and only Kip McWilliams, head coach of Indiana Tech Warriors. Coach, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, DC, for having us, man. Appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure talking with you. So just catching up with you. You know, it's been a busy season. Need to get, you know, and today especially to kind of give people a peek behind the curtain. You were busy today as well, but just kind of how are you feeling today, Coach, for joining us?
Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling okay. I mean, it was a good season. There's always at the end of the year when you wrap it up and you don't come out on top and you lose that last game. I think as a head coach, every coach probably feels the same way, but I think there's a little bit of regret. There's a little bit of sorrow. And there's also a little bit of anxiousness to start the next season and everything. But, you know, the regret part is not necessarily regret of playing other players over other players. It's more of maybe we should have worked on this a little bit more. Maybe we should have touched on this a little bit more throughout the season and things like that. And, you know, the one regret thing that I really have right now about this season was that, you know, our schedule wasn't as demanding and tough opening of the year like it has been in the past. Now, sometimes, though, DC, you can't really control that because right. When we put the schedule together, it's 2 years in advance, you know. So, you know, we already had the 26 schedules done last year, and we're working on the 27 schedule now. So, but when you put that schedule together, the teams you put on there, of course, were good during that time, but then 2 years later, they're not as good. So there's a couple of regrets like that I feel. And then, you know, it's sad, you know, because great group of guys we had this year, some great leadership, and, you know, we're going to miss those guys and their blood, sweat, and tears that they gave us over the 4 years or a few years that they were here. And it's just going to help keep building that building block, you know, for the next season and so forth. It helps us reload for sure. And not, you know, just, you know, my wife summed it up the best. Melissa was saying the other day, she's like, you know, you're in the season, you're on a roll, you win conference tournament, you go to opening round, all of a sudden, bang, it's over, you know, and there's no practice, there's nothing this. The guys go home, they move out of the dorms, and they, you know, it's just, it's like, you know, I'm anxious to see the guys walk by the office today or come out to the field when I'm mowing it, you know, just to say hi and catch up with them. But, you know, they're gone. And that's the sorrow part. And then, of course, just the building block for next year. You know, I'm pretty anxious to get going and everything, but I do need to take a little time off. The whole coaching staff needs to, and even the returning players, but we were young this year. You know, we had a freshman starter for us in center field. We had a couple of freshmen in the rotation for us. And we're mainly sophomores and juniors in the infield. So we got majority of everybody coming back and just need to kind of reload a little bit in that starting pitching rotation. We had some, three or four seniors who really did well for us this year. So, but I mean, Coach Allwine's out in the recruiting trail. He's hitting it hard. We got some great commitments already, and we're kind of looking forward to next year. But like I said, it's just kind of one of those three things, and it's you know, don't really know how you feel. But I spent the whole day mowing the field, just getting out there. Didn't want to sit in the office and reflect too much. Just wanted to get out there and have some alone time on the mower and just kind of, you know, think a little bit more about the season and about the guys.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to start with more of a positive outlook. I mean, I know you guys didn't really have much time to celebrate this, but, you know, you guys did have a good season. I mean, 38-21 overall, you went 20-8 in the conference. You know, all things fell to Cumberland earlier this week. But I mean, you also, this program claimed a second straight WHAC tournament title and made the national tournament. I mean, I know you didn't have a lot of time to celebrate that, but that's got to be another great accomplishment.
Yeah, it is. The guys competed their tail off in the conference tournament and also an opening round. They competed their tail off all year. You know, just sometimes we just didn't execute as well as some of the other teams. But I mean, when it came to the conference tournament, you know, we open up with a really tough victory over Lawrence Tech, extra innings, one on a walk-off single. And then the second game we lost 4-3 on a walk-off from the other team, the opponents. Concordia beat us in the bottom of the ninth. And so that was a tough loss there. But then we end up winning five more in a row after that to force, if necessary, win the conference tournament. And seven games in 4 days. I mean, holy cow. That's where throughout the year, too, DC, we had some weather issues and not having a turf field. We had to move our games a lot, and we're one of the only few conference schools this year had a six-game conference week. Most schools only had four games, this and that, but, you know, there was 3 weeks that we had six games, conference games, back-to-back-to-back days. And so we told our guys, like, hey, if there's any team that is experienced – with playing seven games in 4 days, it's us, because we've done it so many times this past season. And then also, here's the other thing too, DC, that a lot of people just don't realize. And this is the downfall, I think, in coaching. You know, there's decisions that are made by head coaches that they just want to say, okay, hey, we want to pitch our best four arms as much as we can, and that's it. And, you know, yeah, we'd love to do that. But when the weather comes, you might not have that luxury to do it. And then when the postseason comes, you might not have that luxury to do it. And so we really developed our pitching staff this year in our bullpen by being able to have those six games in a week of conference games, not including non-conference games, and just got a lot of guys some time. I mean, we had maybe six, seven guys with over 10 appearances, and, you know, that's pretty awesome, you know. So, but – when you go through the season, you only play four games a week, this and that. It comes a postseason, you get in that loser's bracket. You got to rely on arms that, you know, didn't throw that much. And, you know, we played one other school in the conference tournament, and they brought an arm in one of our games that had four innings this year. Yeah, he only pitched four innings throughout the season. And I'm like, okay, you got a 50-game schedule. How's he only throwing four innings? Right. You know, so, I mean, you know, but I think a lot of people just like, okay, leave your best arms out there, this and that. And I think that can be a downfall to the season, especially when you need to peak at the right time at the end of the year.
Absolutely, Coach. And you know, you've talked about this group of guys this year that had a big season. And one of the guys I know got to watch him at Carroll, Jordan. A big season from him. Just kind of talk about some of the guys that helped, you know, kind of lead that program this year.
Yeah. Jordan had a wonderful season for us. Was really kind of the big key guy in our lineup that everybody was really keying on. And, you know, we couldn't hide him anywhere. You know, his numbers didn't lie last year when he was at Huntington, and then this year too. And so, you know, we were like, okay, just lead him in that four hole spot and just let him just ride it out. But a lot of people had different strategies, how to pitch to him. And he did a nice job making adjustments throughout the year. You know, Alex Watkins, the senior catcher for us, did an amazing job, bat around 350 for us. And, you know, he was a consistent nine hole hitter for us and stuff, but would have been in that lineup a lot more. But we also need to develop that backup catcher, that number two on a double headers and so forth. But he did catch every game for us in the postseason, of course. And then, you know, you have Ben Morrison, junior for us, from Canada, engineering student, great student, great leader. Played second base and shortstop for us quite a bit. And then Jack Ferguson, a sophomore, ended up playing a lot of infield. Bryson Hanna, sophomore, third baseman. He was our three-hole hitter all year. And what a great athlete. And they just did an amazing job. And then with our outfield, you know, Garrett Rainey, center fielder. He's a freshman from Lafayette area. Logan Rybarczyk from Macomb, Michigan, played in right field for us. Jaden Miller, Jorge Santana played in the outfield. So really has some great guys and local guys, the Besser brothers. You know, they did an amazing job. You know, Grant was amazing. But here's another thing too about it. Adam had an amazing year. He was actually probably our top arm most of the year. He really worked hard this postseason and or this preseason working on a sinker and getting rid of his four seam fastball. And he had that good slurve and the changeup, and it really paid dividends for him and for the team. And, you know, we started him the second weekend of our season, and he didn't look back. He was a starter from then on out. So, Coley Stevens, he was in our rotation, senior pitcher from Leo, had a great year. Great leadership. His ERA didn't really show up, but man, he just competed and competed. Hit all of his 4 years here. He did a great job, and so really just a phenomenal year from a lot of those guys.
Yeah, and as you said too, like you talked about mowing today and hoping to run into some of the guys because time goes so quickly and some of the guys are getting ready to be packing and leaving the campus and getting ready for that. But for the I guess as we kind of look ahead to next season, who are some of the young guys you're expecting to have a big summer working on their game and back ready to play for next season?
Yeah, I mean, we got everybody coming back technically. I mean, we're losing Jaden Miller, our starting left
Jaden
fielder, and
Miller,
Watkins, our
yeah.
starting catcher. And then we got the Bessers. We lose them and Coley. We didn't have Noah Redmond, freshman pitcher for us from Heritage. We didn't have him in the opening round Nationals. He had a severe leg injury that kept recuperating and trying to recover throughout the spring, and it just took paid took a toll on him, and he couldn't pitch in the postseason. Unfortunately, he pitched in the conference tournament for us, but he was lights out for us. He was one of our top arms, low ERA, and matter of fact, I don't think he gave up a hit his first two or three outings this spring. So we're looking for him to come back strong, healthy, ready to go. He's not going to be able to play this summer because of the knee surgery. Jordan, Jack Ferguson, they're playing in the Great Lakes League, so we're going to be able to see them play here in a few weeks and continue on with their growth. Jack will be a junior for us, and Jack's a very versatile player. He can play anywhere, third, short, second. He caught for us as well this year. Jordan is really done a great job for us at first base defensively and offensively. So those guys are looking forward to having them back. Ben Morrison and Bryson Hanna, I'm not sure if they're going to play this summer. I think Bryson and Ben's going to take the summer off, but Ben's been a great hitter for us for 3 years. He's got a lot of varsity time and a lot of varsity experience, and we don't see him slouching at all coming back next year and being ready to go, and just such a great leader for us. And Bryson's just such a tough kid. His freshman year didn't play much for us. He was back and forth, a lot of injuries and stuff, but he finally was healthy this year and battled through some stuff and just such a tough competitor. And Garrett Rainey's playing in Indianapolis this summer and a freshman center fielder, so we'll be able to get him some time. And Logan Hrabarczyk, he was starting right fielder and a leadoff guy. He will be up in Michigan playing quite a bit too. And then our arms. I mean, we got a lot of guys who we're really excited about coming back. Cade Robinson, he didn't pitch an opening round, and it wasn't necessarily because we didn't want to use him, but we just ran out of games, and we had plenty more innings to come if we won that game against Cumberland. But he was probably going to end up being on the bump quite a bit that next game. But Colton Leatherman, who led us in the ERA, relief pitcher, and Danny May as well. A lot of guys that are returning back, and a lot of guys with significant experience. Josh Burton, Austin Byford, Caden Plank was really good for us this year there down the back stretch and everything too. So we got those guys come back as sophomores and really going to be able to help us reload.
Yeah, and something I wanted to ask too, and this is it's gonna sound bad for some of the older listeners are gonna be like, what are you trying to say? So this is what you just finished your 18th season,
19, 19.
19th,
Yeah.
19th season as coach, and so I remember coming out of high school, and you already had a solid program, and so how do you approach, at this, because you've had 13 national championship game appearances. I mean, you've done it all. So how do you approach the offseason, coach?
Just reflection. I really sit back and reflect. Brent, the associate head coach here for us, I always like to run things by him, and he and I have some really good long conversations throughout the summer about ideas and suggestions and things to work on. And part of those regrets that we have at the end of the year is things that you put on the top of your list to have discussions on about how we maybe need to do some things a little different. And DC, you know, the game has changed for the last 19 years. It's changed a lot. And it's it's changed with the pitchers, the hitters, the approaches, the, you know, the types of pitching we're seeing, the velocity, the movement. And we're always wanting to try to make sure we don't stay in the same level. Like my first year here, I learned so much for that second year. Then my third year learned so much, and it keeps getting more and more. And you got to be able to learn from the prior season. And if not, then you can very similar have a, you know, another outcome like you did the year before. And we want to keep trying to win that final game of the year, make it back to that World Series, and this time just win it, you know? So, so there's a lot of work we got to get done, a lot of planning. We play it tough. I mean, we work the guys hard in the fall. We go 8 or 9 weeks in the fall, play a lot of games. Wow. And it's a lot of wear and tear on them. They get a good little break, and then we have the winter workouts and then hit it hard in the spring. So, you know, we don't want the guys to get worn out. We don't want them to be burned out, but you know, it takes a special person to be a student athlete these days to stay on top of your grades and stay on top of your game. We want to make sure we just do a lot of good planning. And everything. And I know the first thing we're going to talk about is just our strength conditioning program in the summer. You know, we want to send that out as soon as we can for the guys. You know, give them some time off. You know, these guys have been lifting all year, so we might not really have them start until the 1st of July, just to kind of take a little, give a little rest for the body.
Yeah. I mean, in addition to, you know, how the game has changed just, you know, on the field, I imagine, you know, recruiting too. I mean, How have you guys changed your approach, you know, and how you do that as well?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, Brent and I have had many conversations about that. And you know, it's kind of going back and forth. You know, our best players in our program history that we've had have been here for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And so we want to hit the high schools. And we do. We want to try to hit, especially the Northeast area, D.C. This is such a great baseball area. And we want to hit that and hit it hard. But the other thing is that, you know, we have so many great young men that we recruit that come in with AP courses that transfer in. You know, they're not here for 4 years anymore. They're not necessarily transferring to other schools. They're just graduating. You know, like Alex Watkins, our junior catcher this year, he graduated. And, you know, he's got job offers. I'm like, yeah, man, you go start your real life. I totally get it. Yeah, we should have him for one more year, but it's okay. Either, you know, but then we have to kind of keep an eye on that and the progression of their studies and everything too, to see if, okay, do we have to replace Alex Watkins next year? Do we need to go? We need to probably bring in maybe another catcher. We had some other guys that we brought in at semester that, you know, can help us reload there too. So we're pretty excited about them, but you know, it's just kind of one of those things where we kind of have to keep an eye on that. So to do that, sometimes this late in the game, you might have to, you know, go the transfer route. You might have to hit the junior colleges and things like that. And then transfer portal has changed everything. I mean, it really has. And I mean, just, you know, we don't necessarily, you know, recruit through the transfer portal. We're not allowed to and everything, which is the NEI, but just okay. But I mean, we still get some guys that possibly show some interest in us and contact us that are in the portal, but we don't necessarily contact them. But it's just, you know, one of those things that we might have to kind of get a little bit older and more experienced and bring guys in to help us reload and do that. But we still like the high school ranks, but sometimes we just can't do it that way.
I like that, Coach. Yeah. And it's like, so something else too. So being so successful like you have, right? Well, no, thank you. Obviously you just love us here in the 260, right? You know, you've stayed here. You've kept this great program right here in our backyard in the 260 for so long down on Anthony. I mean, just talk about what baseball means to you here in the 260.
I tell you, Indiana Tech baseball program was established well before I even got here. You know, you look at Lance Hershberger, Steve Devine, Randy Stiegel, they did an amazing job here. And for me, I was just been blessed and at the right spot, right time to take this position after Randy left to go to Emory Riddle. You know, I can only hope that I don't let those guys down. And I want to make sure that we're putting out that work and that effort to do so. And I think we are. But I love Fort Wayne. I was born and raised in Bloomington, Indiana. I love Bloomington. But man, when I left there, I was wanting to get out and just kind of spread my wings a little bit and wound up here in Fort Wayne. I met my wife here in Fort Wayne. My daughter was born in Fort Wayne. I love Fort Wayne and I love the Northeast region. I love the relationships I have with the baseball coaches up here and in the community. It means so much. And that's makes the job even a little bit sweeter. If you don't like your community, you don't like the school if you coach at, then yeah, you're going in trouble. But I love Indiana Tech. We are so blessed here with great facilities, a great budget, great leadership, and our president Inhofe and Jesse Biggs, our AD. We are so blessed. And I could not have asked to be at a better institution than where I'm at now.
What's some of your favorite memories? I mean, looking back, there's got to be a lot to pick from. What's some first things that come to your mind with this program?
Here's what's sad, DC. Maybe it's sad for the some of the listeners. The greatest memories I have are not necessarily the baseball victories and championships. It's seeing our guys on their wedding day get married and seeing their teammates as the groomsmen up there. Seeing the guys be fathers. We have so many great alumni and they're welcome anytime. They know they're welcome. I tell them anytime you come in, they come in the dugout during the game. I don't care. Come on in. They bring their kids in the dugout during the game, and I catch up with them and talk to their children. I mean, that's just seeing them be great husbands. I mean, that's the greatest moments I have. Getting together with those guys. We got together with them on alumni weekend this past year and just had a lot of fun and a lot of stories, a lot of memories. Those are the things that I remember the most. And that's probably, I mean, the victories, this and that, the championships. So yeah, those are great. And those are what they want to compete in. That's what we're trying to shoot for. But the bottom line is, man, if we're not producing quality people, quality men out of this program, then we're failing. The success we've had on the baseball field is great, but I think we've had more success off the field with our guys with finding their careers and their jobs and moving on. I mean, there's some great baseball men that played here that are having great careers in baseball, as coaches, this and that. And Ken Jarrett, who's from Mason, Ohio, he played here and he's a big wig for the Cleveland Guardians now as a pro scout, and I mean, it's just seeing those guys start their careers and move on and start their own lives. I mean, that's the most memorable part I have.
I love that. It's how we address it at the lower levels. I think that's something that's missing. I feel like it gets a little bit lost, with some of the coaches as they get older. When you get to like the high school and even some colleges. I mean, even some colleges, like, we just want to win, and I'm not like addressing like any particular school. It's just how some of them are, just like, we want to win, and I think that's what sets Indiana Tech apart. It's a family. It's a lot more
No,
than just
thank
a
you. I
baseball
appreciate
program, and
it.
that's a testament to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Absolutely, coach. So what's the best way, other than people attending, because I come to like everything. Anytime I see you guys, like when Beach Harmon posts that schedule, like it's like February and you guys post that he posts that schedule online that you guys are playing on Anthony, I'm there. So like what's the best way for everyone to support the Indiana Tech baseball program?
I'd say just keep it, keep checking online our website and we try to, follow us on Twitter. Coach Allwine does the Twitter page and everything too. And Facebook, we have an alumni Facebook page too. And we got India Tech Facebook page. I mean, a lot of that social media stuff is very helpful. I think, there's great weather in the fall, and I know it falls big football. I get it. I get it. We're in the football country, but I mean, shoot, a Saturday or Sunday, if you don't like the NFL games that are on, or the college football games, come on out because we are home a lot on Saturdays and Sundays playing double headers against other junior colleges, other co schools, and everything. We're not just doing inter squad, we're doing a lot of competition games against other schools because we're allowed to do that now with the NEIA. It's really kind of a good thing for us, and it's good weather, and good baseball. But yeah, I think any way that people come out and support and watch, the games are free of charge. We don't charge, Come on out, man. It's great baseball. And here's the thing too, I always give this out to the coaches, DC. Anytime there's high school coaches, little league coaches, travel ball coaches, I don't care. You ever want to come to a practice of ours, give me a holler. Shoot me an email, drop me a text, let me know just ahead of time. We'll prepare things for you. Come on out, watch our practice. Come on out. We'll sit in the dugout during our games. Because it's not necessarily a learning moment for them, it's a learning moment for our guys. And I always tell our visitor coaches that come and ask our players questions because they can always ask me questions. But I think it's so important to ask our players those questions and see how they respond, see how they answer those questions, because hopefully we're teaching the right way and they can respond in a good way. But it's always great to hear the feedback from the players, and that's one thing that we always have shared with our guys. I share this with the pitchers every year. I'm the pitching guy. I go, but listen, you're probably going to learn more from each other than you are going to learn from me. We're going to work on things. We're going to make suggestions here and there and fine tune some things. But, we got some guys who developed some great pitches over the last couple of years because another pitcher on our staff showed them how to throw that pitch. I mean, it's just great, but anybody wants to come on out, learn and just ask questions and watch and be in the dugout. Absolutely. Come on out.
That's awesome, Coach. Kim McWilliams, head coach of Indiana Tech Warriors, joining us here on the 260 Dugout Podcast. Coach, I'll still be in touch. Look forward to everything you guys got going this summer. Take some time off, as you well deserve, but let's get back at it next year, Coach. Keep in touch.
All right, DC. Thanks for your time, man. Go Warriors.
Go Warriors.
Thank you for listening to this exclusive presentation of the 260 Dugout Podcast, presented by the Old Ford Baseball Company.